b'chol sharecha, b'chol ir v'ir, in every single city, and l'shvotecha, and you have to give for every shevet. The Mepharshim say, let's say there are two shvatim that share a city, so you have to give, you have to place dayanim for each shevet in that very same city. There is a ribui of dayanim, and there's a ribui of officers to enforce the law. So the Dubna Maggid says a very nice marshal over here. Somebody from a backwards country was visiting Germany, which was very advanced at the time. He was in Berlin. And he asked one of the people in Berlin, he says, I have a question. He says, you people are so advanced in medicine, and you have so many doctors, and yet there's so many sick people there in the hospitals, in different places, vacationing, resting. But yes, where I come from, we're not advanced in medicine. We hardly have any doctors, and there's very few people that are sick. You know, what's the pshat? How do you explain that? So he says, the cheshbon is pashut. He says, because we're so advanced in medicine, and because we have so many doctors, we're up on the latest facts on medicine, so we don't wait till a fellow is half dead till we take him into a hospital or till we prescribe medicine. When we see the slightest symptoms, we already medicate him, we already put him in the hospital, we already tell him to get bed rest, we tell him to go on vacation, and that way, we're able to keep people alive. You, on the other hand, because you're not advanced in medicine, and you're not able to see the symptoms beforehand, so by you, a sick person is when he's already holding on his deathbed. You know, so there's not as many of you. But Mashenkin over here, where we are advanced in medicine, and we are medagdic in every single thing, there are more ill people, and there are more people that we prescribe medicine to and prescribe bed rest. So it's up to the Magid. There's no nation throughout the history that had as many judges and had as many rabbonim and had as many manhige hador as Klal Yisrael did. And you find Kisader that they say you have to be misakin this midah and you're lacking in this midah, you have to be misakin this and that. That comes because of the godless of Klal Yisrael. What's considered sick by Klal Yisrael is a lot less sick than by the Umas Olam. The Umas Olam don't have these guys. They don't have these manhigim. They don't have the Torah by which to live their lives by. Memela by them, a sick person is considered a reteach, or someone that's mamisha, an adulterer, shein kamayu. By Yidden, even the slightest little shaychis, malbim nechaver barabim, is considered a kind of a reteach. Chazal also say, someone that's masik vul reyehu, he oversteps his bounds and takes away somebody's business, that's tantamount to znus. You know, by us we have the Chachomim, and we have the Gedolim, we have the Talmidei Chachomim to point out to us when there's the slightest deviation from the Emes, you're already considered a Chayla, and you have to work on those Midas. That's the Shaiftim, the Shaitim, Titin Lecha, B'chol Sharecha. The Torah wants to be married with these spiritual doctors, and that way they'll keep us healthy, and we'll be far, far from the sick people, from the sicknesses that you find by the Gedolim. Those of the Dubna Magid over here. Pasuk says weiter, Al pi ha-Torah asher yoyrucha, based on the Torah that they will teach you, Val ha-mishpat asher yoyimulucha tas, on the judgment that they tell you, you shall do. Lo yisosur min ha-dovar, you should not deviate from the words of the Chachamim, asher yagidu lucha yomin usmael. You should not deviate from the words of the Chachamim to the right or to the left. So Rashi says over here, a famous Chazal, even if the shofet, the judge, tells you that right is left, or al smoil shehu yamin, or that left is right, you have to listen to him. Kol shekein, when he says that right is right and left is left, kol shekein, you have to listen to him. Rashi, this is a Sifri. The Sifri brings down this is a Maimar Chazal. It would seem from Rashi that even if you know for a fact that the dayan is telling you the wrong thing, you're still mechuyav to listen to him. That's the way it was seen from Rashi. You know for a fact, he's telling you that right is left and left is right. You know for sure the dayan is making a mistake, and still you're mechuyav to listen to him. So if you learn pshat and Rashi, simple, it's very shver. I mean, if the dayan, if the god was making a mistake, you know for a fact he's making a mistake. So how could the Torah be mechuyav to listen to him? Is the word of the dayan more important than the dinim of the Torah? So the Abar Ben El says, it doesn't mean if you know for a fact. If you think he's making a mistake, if it seems to you like he's making a mistake, but you're not 100% sure, you're mechuyev to listen to the dayan. But if you attack and know for a fact, the Abar Benel says it was never said, then you're not believing. You know, he's making a mistake for a fact. How you know that? I mean, it's anyone's guess. But if you do know for a fact that he's making a mistake, the Abar Benel says you're not mechuyev to listen to him. As a matter of fact, there is a version of the Sifri that says, not the way Rashi has it over here, afilu im yoimru l'chal yimenshu smile. There's a nusach in the Sifri, afilu im nirin loy, even if it appears to you that he's saying al yimenshu smile. Mashmi, you don't know it for a fact. But if you do know it for a fact, you're talking not mechuyev to listen to the dayan. That is what the Abar Benel says. But the Ramban disagrees. And the Ramban says clearly that even if you know for a fact that the dayan is making a mistake, the Ramban says you're mechuyev to listen to him. Why? If you know he's making a mistake, why in the world would the Torah value the law of the dayan over what the Torah says? So from the Ramban it's mashma that you have to listen to the dayan. There's got to be an authority. If you're going to take away the authority of the dayan, even when he's making a mistake, people are going to start offering their different opinions, and there's never going to be any clear sheet in Klal Yisrael. The Torah wants there to be an authority. Asher lefizeh, you have to listen to the authority, even if you know that he's making a mistake. But if people are not going to go according to the authority, that's going to lead to the weakening of authority in other matters. There's always chilukei deis. So if you don't listen to the dayan, in this case where you know he's wrong, you're going to end up not listening to the dayan even when you're not sure. And the Torah wanted that there has to be that clear authority. Where do we find such a thing in Chazal? There's the famous Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. There was the story where, according to Rabban Gamliel, there was already a Kiddush HaChodesh, and Rabbi Yeshua disagreed. So Rabban Gamliel forced Rabbi Yeshua to come to him with his stick and with his bag when he thought it was Yom Kippur. According to Rabban Gamliel, it was not Yom Kippur. But Rabbi Yeshua held it was Yom Kippur, and he commanded Rabbi Yeshua to come on the day when he thought it was Yom Kippur, and Rabbi Yeshua did it. Why? There had to be the authority of the Nasi. Rabban Gamliel was the Nasi, and he had to maintain that authority. So even if Rabbi Yeshua knew that Rabban Gamliel was wrong, and according to his sheet, Rabban Gamliel was wrong, he gave in to the authority. It's a kind of a thing that we find, Eis Lasei Slashem, Hey Favor Seir Esecha. Sometimes for the sake of doing what's right for Hashem, it even involves being over on the Din HaTorah. And since the authority in Klal Yisrael is very, very important, and if you don't keep that authority to the strictest level, then later on you'll be mezalzel and you'll be missing other points with the authority. So even when it comes to being over on Din HaTorah, Hashem tells you, listen to the dayan. This is the way the Ramban learns pshat. Now, B'derek Klal, this mitzvah of Loi Sosa Yomana Smail, Michal Asher Yerucha, is a general lima to all of us. A lot of times we see things and logically we think we're 1,000% correct. And the Gedolim think a different way. Now how could that be? The Torah says because their seichel is a mile from our seichel. They see things and we see things logically. But logically is nowhere near the das of the Torah. The Torah is beyond logic. And the Torah gives you a way of thinking that's beyond anybody else. Beyond anybody else. And that's why we're going to listen to them. I feel, I'm going to smile, I'll smile, shu yamin. I always say over a mice, I heard this from a very, very reliable source. There was a young Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael that wanted to institute a new program in his yeshiva, but it was an original thing that was not done in yeshivas. So he was going to ask Das Torah. He went to Rav Hutna, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I'm sorry, he went to Rav Shach first, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and he told him what he wants to do. Rav Shach, the moment he says, no, it's krum, you can't do it. No. He says, fine, I'm not going to do it. But could the Rosh Hashiva be Mazvah to me? Why? He says, it's crumb. You can't. It's good, but I just want to know the reason. It's crumb. And when he pressed the Rosh Hashiva, he says, you know what? Your Rebbe is Rav Hutna. Go ask Rav Hutna the reason for it, and he'll tell you. So he goes to Rav Hutna, and he tells him the program that he wants to institute. And Rav Hutna thinks for a few moments. He says, it's a crumb thing, you shouldn't do it. So he says, okay, I'm not going to do it, but could the Rosh Yeshiva explain to me why? So he explained to him logically why it's not a good thing. So he smiles. He says, I have to tell the Rosh Yeshiva Damas that I went to Rav Shach first. And he asked him, and right away he like lit up, no. But when I pressed him for the answer, he couldn't tell me why. He says, how is it that Rav Shach did not give me the reason why, and the Rosh Yeshiva was able to give me the logic behind it? So Putna said, a mighty dicky thing. He says, Rav Shach is kule, tell you. There's not the tiniest little dot in him that's not Malay Taira. If he hears something of Sheker, there's an alarm sounded within him before it even gets to his brain, before it even gives a logical reason. The Taira within him lights up and signals, wrong. So Shakrizek, he told you I'll be the alarm that sounded within him. I'm not in that madrig. He says, I'm not able to give an answer until I think it through logically. He said, I thought it through logically, I gave you that reason. But Rav Shach is on a madrega which is beyond logic. And the Torah within him is so kaddish that it rings an alarm. He can't do it. So he went back. He told Rav Shach what Rav Lutner had said. And he told him this stickle that Rav Lutner told him, the difference between him and Rav Shach. So Rav Shach smiled. He says, I'll tell you that. And it's lechatchila when I told you the reason. I couldn't be masbir logically. But the regish I had within, he says, I said, it's not a good thing. Afterwards, I thought of the reason also. But b'shas nice, so I felt that it's not the right thing. Gedolim have that certain chush. Like by Mashiach, it says, b'hirichu b'yiras Hashem. They're going to be able to smell yiras Hashem. They're going to have that sixth sense that comes from Kedusha. They'll be able to smell it. One of the simanim of Mashiach is, he has to be a meirech v'don. He has to be able to smell what's right and what's wrong. That's something that very, very few people have. So even if logically it seems to us one way, there is a feeling beyond logic which we don't understand. That's for that parasha. Pasuk goes on to say, Mikerev achicha tosem alechem melech. From amidst your brothers, you should place upon yourself a king. You will not be able to place upon you a nachri, a guy, or someone that does not have a yichus in Klal Yisrael. He's not miyuchus. You cannot place such a person as a melech. A melech has to be mikerev achicha, as Chazal darshan mimufcha sheba achicha. He has to be a miyuchus. He has to have a good yichus. So I saw a pshat from a very, very choshev kadmon by the name of Rav Moshe David Vali. He lived in the 1700s. He was a Talmud of Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato. And he's medayek on the pasuk. Why does it say, Leisucha losis alecha ishnachmi? You will not be able to place upon you a foreigner. It should have said, Leisitein alecha ishnachmi. Do not place upon yourself a foreign king. What is this, Leisucha losis alecha? You will not be able to place upon yourself a foreign king. So he says, the Torah is being meramis to us over here. No matter how much you try to place upon yourself a foreign king, it's never going to work. Not only is it usher, but if you try it, it's not going to work. He gives a marshal. It's like taking the heart of an animal and planting it into a human being. It's not going to work. Eventually, it's just not going to work. And it may seem like it works, but it's not going to work. To take someone that's not Mizera Yisrael and is not a Miyuchas to become the king over Klal Yisrael, he won't be able to conduct himself properly, and most certainly, he will not be able to lead the Bnei Yisrael the way they should. A perfect riot to this, the last king, or some people say it was next to the last king in Klal Yisrael, was Egrifas HaMelech in Bayis Sheni. And Egrifas was a Melech Hogan. He was a proper king. He was a good person. He was a kind person. He was very good to the Yidden. But he came from Hordas, he came from Herod. He wasn't, you know, Mizera David HaMelech. He wasn't from the regular Miyuchosim in Yisrael. And it just didn't work out. The Seif Dover was, he lost the Malchus, and that's when the Romans took over. There's a question if it was his son, the second Agrifas, or the first Agrifas, but the Romans took over during that Malchus. Why? It just does not work. As a matter of fact, the Gemara tells us that in the 19th, you know, after Shemitah, there's a mitzvah of Hakel. Mitzvah of Hakel. Getting together in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Melech reads the Sefer Torah. So Egrifas HaMelech, who wasn't really a king, Al Pi Din, he read the Sefer Torah, and he came to this pasuk, Mikerev Achicha Tosav Alecha Melech, Loisuch Alosis Alecha Ishnachri, and he started crying. you know, why was he crying? Because he wasn't really right. And the Chachamim, they appeased him. No, Achinu Ato, you're our brother. And they got punished for that. It was Chanufa, it was flattery. And it was flattery Shemoy Kedin. But Moshe David Bali says, why was he crying? Because he felt within himself that he's not really fit. He felt within himself that he is not really fulfilling the full tachlis of the king. And he started crying. That's why the Torah uses a lashon over here, loisucha. You will not be able to. Not just that it's usher, but loisucha. About the melech, the pasuk tells us, loyarba loinoshim. He may not take many wives. He's allowed a certain amount of wives. He's not allowed to be married with more than that number. The Medrash in Shemais, and it's also Yerushalmi, tells us that Shlomo HaMelech married women beyond what he was allowed to marry. Why? He said, it says, he shouldn't marry too many women, and they won't make his heart stray. So Shlomo HaMelech says, that was said for regular people, but me, I will be married by Noshim, they're not going to take me off. The end result was that they did. At the end, Noshim, he to us, Lubavik. So the Medrash tells us that at the time that Shlomo HaMelech married these wives, he was married by Noshim, the Yud of Loyarba came in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, if Shlomo HaMelech doesn't keep me, then the mitzvah is going to become bottle. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, may 100 or 1,000 Shlomo HaMelechs become bottle, and not one letter in the Torah should become bottle. And the same thing was Shlomo HaMelech, you know, it was proven that he was not able to hold on to his level of the way he should have been. I mean, Hashemayim, they punished him because of it. So the Chafetz Chaim asks a question. Shlomo HaMelech was the first Melech that did an Aveira. David HaMelech did an Aveira with the Ma'is of Bathsheba. David HaMelech did an Aveira. Yet you don't find that the Pasuk should come and complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at the Aveira that he was over. You don't find that. So why dafka by Shlomo HaMelech did the Pasuk come and complain that if Shlomo HaMelech doesn't keep me, then what's going to be with me? So Chafetz Chaim explains as follows. He says, if a melech is mechalel Shabbos, the mitzvah doesn't become batel, because even if he's mechalel Shabbos, there's many people in Klal Yisrael that are keeping Shabbos. So the mitzvah would not become batel, even if the melech commits znus. So there's many people that keep the mitzvah of arayis, and they do maintain a purity. So even if he would be mevatel it, but the mitzvah would not become batel, because there's many people in Klal Yisrael that keep it. But this was a mitzvah that was said particularly to a melech. The only one that can be mekayim this mitzvah is a king. And if the king doesn't keep it, then the entire mitzvah of the Torah becomes batel. So the mitzvah came. When David HaMelech married Bathsheba, whatever the aveira was, it wasn't znus literally. Chazal tell us that kol ha'imer David chata ein ela tayeh. Anybody thinks that it was literally adultery is making a mistake. So whatever the aveira was, let's say it was gezel, some people say, he took something that wasn't his, but it wasn't Anish Snus. Let's say it was Gezel, but there's many people in Klal Yisrael that keep the mitzvah of Gezel, and they so it wasn't going to be Mevatel, the mitzvah. But this Layarba Laynashim was only said about a melech, and the only one that could keep this mitzvah was Shlomo HaMelech. So if he doesn't keep it, nobody else can keep it. That's why the mitzvah came with a Tayin Atak Kodesh Baruch. So Chafetz Chaim says, what practical lesson can we take from this? You see from over here that if a mitzvah in the Torah is not kept at all, there's a terrible kitruv, whether it's against one person or it could be against Klal Yisrael. So Chafetz Chaim in his time spoke about the Isra of Lashon Hara, Shmiras HaLashon. He says that was something that became hefker. People just weren't paying attention to Lashon Hara. So Chafetz Chaim was saying, if you see from over here that something that's not kept, it goes up to Hashem and it comes with a kitrug and Hashem listens. We have to be very careful with Lashon Hara not to let it become a davar hefker. I would say that Bizman Hazeh, the Indian of talking in shul during davening, unfortunately, there's many people that are not yetter by that, which is a chilul of a makam kedusha. It's me'ein, being mechal kedushas based on mikdash. That's something I think that we have to be very careful with today. If you see that people are lax in something and it becomes a davar nefesh, it becomes hefker, then that's a reason to worry that maybe that mitzvah will come and be mekatrig against us. So that's something that we have to be very, very careful about. V'hoysa imay. Torah tells us the Sefer Torah should be with the melech. The korah by kol yemei chayav. He should read out of the Sefer Torah all of the days of his life, Laman Yilma, in order that he learn, Liyira es Hashem Aleikav, in order that he learns to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Shimon Schwab asks a question. The Melech was chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Melech wasn't just someone, they didn't have elections and the people choose it. No, it was chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He told the Navi or whatever, through the Ur of the Tumim, through the Sanhedrin. But it was a whole process. They didn't pick just anybody. The Melech had to be Yerushalayim. His Yerushalayim had to be recognizable on his face. So what's Pshat when the Torah says over here, V'hoysa imay, V'kara v'koyimei chayav, L'man yomad l'yiras Hashem aleikav. It sounds like he's learning for the first time how to be a Yerushalayim. He didn't become a king until it was nicker that he was a Yerushalayim. So what does the Torah mean over here? L'man yomad, in order that he should learn l'yiras Hashem aleikav. So Schwab says that from here you see that when someone enters a high position, Yerushalayim could just fall by the wayside like nothing. Why? The covet can get to his head. He's in a totally different situation. The Eitz HaHara becomes bigger. He has a lot different nisyanos. And since the nisyanos are different, there's a very, very big sakana that all of the Yerushalayim that he picked up until now will mamash fall by the wayside. And he quotes the lashon of the Rambam. There's a Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos, in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah over there says, love work, don't try to become a Rav. Don't try and be someone, you know, in a high position. So the Rambam says, when someone seeks a high position or to be a Rav, he'll have tremendous nisyanos, v'ra'os, people will be jealous. They'll argue with him. He's going to get into fights. He could lose his emuna. Like Chazal say, when someone is appointed a leader down here, Nasa Rasha Momaila, he could easily become a Rasha up there. When someone becomes a leader, he faces tremendous nisyanos. That's why the Torah tells us over here, even if he was chosen as a Yerushalayim, he has to learn how to be a Yerushalayim all over again. Because the Nisyanos are much greater now, and now he has to fight harder to remain a Yerushalayim. Rav Schwab points out as well, when we bench Rosh Chodesh, the Shabbos Mevorachim, so we say in the Tefillah, Chaim Shel Yerushalayim V'Yiras Chet. Rabbi Shalom, we ask you for you to give us Yerushalayim V'Yiras Chet. Chaim Shel Oishir V'Chavayt. Give us a life of riches and honor. And then we repeat again, Chaim Shalahabas Torah v'Yerushalayim. You asked for Yerushalayim l'chatchila. So why are you asking for Yerushalayim the second time? And the answer is because in the middle you asked for Oishir v'Chavid. And when you receive Oishir v'Chavid, then the Nisyanos get greater, and now you need Yerushalayim all over again. And that's what happened over here by the Melech. He was taka Yerushalayim l'chatchila, but he works himself into now a new matzav, a new situation where the nisyanos are great, the gaiva could get to his head, the dealing with people could get to his head, and therefore he has to learn all over again how to be a Yerushalayim. The pasuk goes on to say, "V'zeh yihyeh mishpat ha'kohanim li'eis ha'am." This will be the due, the law of the kohanim from the people. Whenever you bring a carbon, you have to give a chelik of it to the kohen. What do you give? That's the front right leg. Halachayim is the jaw with the tongue. Va'akeva and the stomach. From every carbon, you have to give. I'm sorry, when you shecht regular animals, not carbonas, that's something else. But when you shecht regular animals, you have to give the zroya, the front right leg. B'lochayayim is the jaw, ba'akeva. So Schwab is medayik, it says, v'zeyyeh mishpat, this is theirs me'ikar adin. It doesn't say it by truma, it doesn't say it by ma'aser, it doesn't say it by any of the matnis kuhuna. It's mashma, this is their payment, me'ikar adin. All the others are a chesed to the kohanim, to support them. But this is their due, me'ikar adin. He says, why? It's up to Schwab. The kohanim do three major things. Number one, they do the avoid and they do it with their right hand. Their makrif korbanos. Everything has to be done with the right hand. Number two, they use their mouths for birchas kahanim. And number three, they use their stomachs, they eat the karbonas, and that's a chelik of the avodah. Kahanim oichlum u'baylim mischap. By the eating of the karbonas, the baylim have a kapar. So he says, can they get the right hand that they use? They get the foreleg of the animal. That's the zraya, which has to be the right one to daf. The Gemara tells us in Chulin, daf kuf lamed aleph, has to be the front right leg, doing it to the hand that they use for the avodah. Connected the mouth that they use for Birchas Kahanim, they get the jaw together with the tongue. And connected, they use their stomachs to eat to eat the karbanas. Connected that mida, connected mida, they get paid back with the keva. So everything is, this is mishpat ha-kahanim. Everything else is a chesed to the kahanim. But this is their just payment. This is the mishpat, because it's connected the avayda that they do. So I'm going to say over one more gebalt, the gibshat. From the Chofetz Chaim, or maybe the Kipshat from the Chofetz Chaim. There were two Yidden from Eretz Yisrael that came collecting in Radin. They were both collecting for Inyanei Eretz Yisrael. One was collecting for the yeshivas and for the Moistas HaChesed in Yerushalayim, and the other one was collecting for the Zionist Chalutzim and for the different communes that they had there. So the one that was collecting for the yeshivas was having a very hard time. In Radin, you can imagine this, in Radin, he was going from house to house to house to house, and it was very, very difficult for him. And the other one, he made money in a jiffy, walked away with big pockets full of money, you know, and he was off, and this fellow had to work hard, he was barely making anything. He had to spend a very long time there. So he came to the Chofetz Chaim with a very big tiny side. I don't understand. How was it? I'm collecting for a holy cause, and I'm having it so hard. About 2 minutes. And he managed to walk away with full pockets. So I told him about in this week's parasha. It says about the Orin Miklot that you should prepare the way. You put up signs, Rashi says, all over, this way to the Orin Miklot, that way to the Orin Miklot. How come you don't find why? Because a person that's running away, you should know exactly where to go. How come you don't find by the Oile Regal that we're going to Yerushalayim that they put up signs to show them which is the way to Yerushalayim? Zokta Chofetz Chaim, he says, a person that killed Gushaygay, we didn't want him to stop and ask people directions. We didn't want him to talk to them. He's a Ritzayach. We didn't want people to hear about Ritzicha. Even if it's Gushaygay, we don't want that word spread around. That's a Dover Tomei. We don't want him to have any contact with people to ask directions, so we put the directions up this way to the Ari Nikla. But the mitzvah of Eile Regel, Adarabba, when a person's Eile Regel, we want him to talk. I'm going to be Eile Regel. He tells me, oh, you're going to be Eile Regel. Gevaldik, they tell him exactly where it is. And the word spreads, he's going to be Eile Regel. And the mitzvah spreads. Hashem wanted that word to be spread. So the Chofetz Chaim is the same thing over here. So that fellow over there is collecting for a Dover Tameh, for the kibbutz and the Mechalei Shabbos. He doesn't want them to go around to people. He gives them his money right away and off with you. He doesn't spend that much time over here. But you're collecting for the Bar Mitzvah, Kedusha, for yeshivas, for chasodim. He wants you to go to as many people as possible. Hashem, if he's there, he makes you go from door to door. You get a little bit here, a little bit here, but you get to see more people and you get to spread the word of the chasodim and the Kedusha that's going on in Yerushalayim. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.